everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club, if you're the first time tuning in, is we ask two of our comedy pals to come on, tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to ask questions. We try to figure out which one is the lie. Jessica, would you please introduce our fine guests?
I would love to. Thank you, Felicia.
You're welcome.
To my left, this lovely woman, she started off as a dancer, went to the Juilliard School of Music. She has a special out right now called Wild Animal. She also has a company, Promotional Rescue, so she can help you with that. She was also on a movie, right, mm-hmm. with Jim Carrey, Man on the Moon. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be hosting Queer X.
I did that yesterday, yeah.
You did
yeah.
that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, you can totally see all the stuff on my social media.
Well, this is Melanie Bessie.
She's trying to be professional, okay?
Melanie,
you did
Bessie.
A great job. Yeah, thank you, Jessica.
That's why we let her do that.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And over here and across from me, this gentleman, we've done a few shows together. He's super funny. You've seen him on Showtime, Playboy TV, TBS, Travel Channel, True TV, and he has a best-selling cookbook. This is Mike Faverman.
Ladies, wow. Pleasure to be here.
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
A cookbook. What's your cookbook called?
Ultimate Outdoor Cooking. It's basically inexpensive, delicious meals in the outdoor with a comedic touch.
Yum.
You guys, you guys big meat eaters?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
A lot of meat.
Oh, yeah. What is your big secret meat. With meat?
Can't tell you that.
Okay.
Gotta buy the book.
Gotta buy the book.
Lady. Do you prefer a marinade or a rub?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you can marinate and then put a rub on it.
Have you ever marinated anything in Dr. Pepper?
Oh,
I haven't.
Yes.
No. Have you?
Oh, my God.
It's really
good. Are you
kidding?
I make a homemade Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce. Oh, yeah, with ginger and garlic.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Alcohols are good, you know, Jack Daniels and
right.
tequila chicken. And
right, or wow. Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Well, that's a chaser.
Welcome
that's
to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we also have with us today our on-air producer, Austin Lane Walker, and he will be answering any questions. If you guys are watching this live, you can play along. If you guys are listening to us or watching it at a later date when it is not live, know that we go live 4:30-ish on Mondays and 8:30-ish on Fridays, most Fridays here at the Comedy Store. And so why don't we just jump off and start it?
Before we even get started, I do want to have a disclaimer real quick, because if she tries to throw this out there, we already know that Melanie was shot by her girlfriend.
I'm not using those stories.
Okay.
Okay. That did come up.
It was so funny because I was like, I'm not going to do that one because you know. Yeah. So you would know. I would like, so when I tell the story about being, so Mike, I was shot by my girlfriend. So
did you deserve it?
I certainly did,
okay.
Sir. Nobody deserves that.
You trying to cut off her dick at night?
So anyway, I have moved away from that because I knew that you would know that. So it would, clearly it wouldn't work. So
right.
There we go.
But
you know, a lot
you
of weird
know.
Things happen in love. Like, I read,
yes.
And that's actually part of my act, but this is a totally true historical story that Hitler and Eva Braun, when they were first going out, totally true, that Hitler wasn't into Eva all that much. And so what she did is she stole her father's pistol and she shot herself in the chest and survived. And she did that to get his attention.
I understand this.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that wild?
This speaks to me.
Yeah.
Now I just do comedy.
Yeah.
So I shoot myself in the chest pretty much every night to
right,
get attention
right.
From people who don't know me, like me, or want to be with me.
Right.
So I really get this.
Wow. Well, I have many questions about that, but we should start the game. So, Mike, why don't you go first?
You want me to go first?
Yes.
I was visiting family and my girlfriend in Boston a few years back. And
your family, like your parents or
yeah,
sister, brother?
Yeah, my mom, my dad.
So you're on cracking?
Wow,
was that? Boxers?
Was that suspicious? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a serious
wow,
question.
Wow, that gets
yeah.
deep.
Family?
Interrogation? I'm actually adopted, but that's a whole different lie.
So not really, no.
Yeah, no family, no love. And I have hemorrhoids. If that's believable.
Oh my God, that was a segue.
Hold on, wow. That's what it becomes about.
Okay.
And they became inflamed.
Jesus.
So at the dinner table.
When hemorrhoids are just hanging out, not inflamed, do they bother you?
No, not usually. It's usually
what are those secret hemorrhoids everyone carries around, Jessica?
Oh my god!
they ask a lot of questions. No, they just, you know, because of what I was eating and, you know, it's the holidays. You pig out. Right. The hemorrhoids seem to get a little flared
Does
up.
Does everybody have hemorrhoids in?
I'd say a good majority of people do have hemorrhoids. You don't have them?
I don't know.
You'd know.
What does it feel like?
Yeah. You'd know.
Burning and discomfort and...
You really notice when you
bleeding.
Clean up.
Yeah, it's bleeding.
You had hemorrhoids?
Yeah. I'm fat, man. No. I think that's why...
There's generally larger people. It has to do with pushing something out that's not ready sometimes.
I think it's more sometimes about dehydration. I think it's not just about being heavy. Right? I think it's also about being dehydrated. So you're pushing out stool that's not really into that. And so you're forcing your...
Dry poop.
Yeah.
It's like an irritated vein.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
And you can actually see them. I mean, I haven't seen mine. Because I don't have enough time.
I always imagine like a mirror. Bumps. So they're not bumps.
It's like a vein, and sometimes a tear.
It can be swollen.
I think it's swollen. Kind of feels bumpy. I've never really looked, but I think it's bumpy. Bumpy.
I mean, we could put a mirror on the table.
Like the rest of us ladies. Okay, oh my god,
this is gone. Kind of wackadoo already. I
haven't even gotten into the story.
No, I like it. So you just got an attack of hemorrhoids at the dinner table?
At the dinner table.
It comes on that fast?
Sometimes, yeah, it can. And so I told my girl at the time, I said, listen, you know, I need some help, you know. And she's like, well, go in the bathroom. There's some baby wipes in there. So I'm like, all right. I go in there, take care of my business, baby wipes. And then about like 15, 20 minutes later, I come out of the bathroom. It's like burning, like worse. And then come to find out they came in the bathroom. I wasn't using baby wipes. I was using Clorox bleach pads.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I didn't know. They were just out there on top of the...
Did they heal faster that way, though?
Yeah, like a nice little bleach will dry it out. Yeah.
It burned like hell.
For how long did it burn?
You could eat out of it. So for a while. I would say a good couple hours. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I try to like splash it with water, but... Uh-huh. But that didn't, you know.
So how once long did that take done, before the whole family knew that you had...
I told them. I'm pretty open about everything. I mean, honestly.
Did you come out and you were like, oh my God, I just wiped my ass with Clorox bleach.
When they found out that it was Clorox bleach, we all had a laugh, but I was still like hurting. You know, hurt, you know. So it was a good laugh and people, you know, busting my balls, but... I just wanted to go away because there's nothing worse than ass pain. Mm. There's nothing. I mean, you ladies would know.
What?
Why would we know?
Yeah. I don't know. Anal?
I've never had anal. Have you
never?
Had anal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Have you had anal?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Kinison had. No, I haven't. I've had Clorox bleach pads.
I've never had anal.
Really?
Why would you guys do anal? That's insane.
You didn't try it at least once?
I didn't try it at least once. I had a boyfriend who kind of pressured me into it.
Starts that way.
He was like, I don't want to have sex with you while you're on your period. And then that was his option. And I was like, okay, I guess. But I was like, that's your option? Like, it was not. It's not great.
I told you whenever I thought I lost my virginity.
Uh-huh.
First time, it was butt sex. I thought that was regular.
Oh, my
really?
God.
The first time you had sex was butt sex.
I told you that. Yeah.
No, Jessica skipped like 20 steps.
I would remember
it was on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
But the first time?
So I was hanging out at the mall. Right?
And where you do, everyone does.
Behind the dumpster.
Where all anal stories start at the mall.
I'm sorry because I just said this, but all of Jessica's sex stories start behind a building, a church, in an alleyway, at the mall.
That's America. Is in middle America.
Have you ever had sex in a bedroom or...
On a bunk bed.
What's a bedroom?
Anywhere normal.
Well, this is something that I just finally have been able to say out loud, honestly, because it was kind of embarrassing. I was only 14, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of this virginity thing. I want to get rid of it, right? So there was a dude at the mall, and he's...
Oh, my God.
I don't know his name.
To this day.
How old was that dude?
I don't know. I'm thinking teens, 17, 18.
Okay, well, all right. Not so bad. I was worried that it was like some 30-year-old friend
like
of your
a
dad's.
Week ago.
You know what I mean? Like,
and so we went into the bathroom.
Oh my God. I'm a mom. I have a 14-year-old son. Like, I'm panicking right
I feel
now.
Like I should
like,
be,
I just...
I feel like I should be taking notes on this story.
Yeah, liar or truth. Yeah, exactly. Truth or dare.
Continue.
And we my dad mostly raised me, so uh-huh. I didn't get a lot of, you know, education. Yeah. So I wasn't sure about everything.
Your dad never said don't have sex in your
shitter. No anal in the bathroom. Oh,
my God.
No, and I didn't know.
Shitter, at the shitter.
I understand, Jessica. I know what you mean.
It just didn't connect for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so we were, and I had to do it doggy style because we're in the bathroom. Yeah. So whatever that, and he put it in my butt, and I thought, oh man, is this sex? Right?
Because I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I did have a little bit of bleeding, so I thought that was my virginity.
Nice. Wow.
So then the time that I did lose my virginity, thought I had already...
Wrong hole, buddy.
Right? And then mess.
Oh, really?
This has gotten too graphic.
And then afterwards, in the bathroom, there was a mess?
No, so the next time I had sex, uh-huh. when I actually lost my virginity, uh-huh. and I thought I had already lost it.
Right.
Right?
What did you think the other hole was for?
Pee?
Really?
I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know what I was
You'd
thinking.
You'd be really surprised. Yeah. Like if you, a woman's body is like so many moving parts and to not understand what's happening. And you're also just in denial about what it is and what's right. happening. And
well, that explains a lot.
I want a do-over for Jessica. That's what I want.
I'm trying to think about like when I was young and when I was horny and I never, my butthole was never horny, Jessica. Wow.
Me neither.
Well, because it wasn't even about that for me. I just wanted to get it done.
Right.
Aww. I want a time machine and go back and give you, I want, not me, but I mean like I want this to like, I want a do-over for
I
you.
I want a time machine to watch. That's hot.
Jesus.
What do you mean, Jesus?
On a crack
man whose butt bleeds.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to watch that shit.
Who doesn't know the difference between Clorox and baby wipes?
I know, yeah.
This guy. Yeah. I don't even know what baby wipes were.
Who looks at packaging? Branding? What?
Leah said, live a little, Felicia.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
She said she was watching a Goofy movie when she lost her V-card. But don't worry, really? That she was 16, so she was...
Wow. Never once have I ever... when I was married, I don't want to get into that, but...
Okay.
No, let's get into
it. Okay, when I was married, my ex-husband would always try to stick his finger up my butt, and I was just like, I just am not down.
Yeah.
You never even wanted a finger?
No, I'm just not down.
It's an exit for me. I'm not interested.
It's not my thing. And here's the thing. I'll suck your dick until it's fucking whistle clean.
Hello.
That's all you need, okay? That's all you need.
That's all I need.
So I don't... I just think it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, is that your story? Is you had hemorrhoids and you wiped your butt with bleaks?
Yeah, the burns and the families were there. Yeah, that's the story.
Wow. You know.
What was this, a holiday?
It was Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving. Did you continue eating dinner?
Well, yeah, later. I had leftovers. Several leftovers. Turkey gobblers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those are the best.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what a turkey gobbler is.
It's a sandwich with turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, mayo, delish. If you wish.
I didn't know that's what those were called.
Yeah,
I know
turkey either. Gobblers. I think.
Put
maybe I made
sauce
it up.
On it, too, if you dig it.
Yeah, I was going to say cranberry sauce. Boston.
Oh, yeah. And where did this incident happen?
It happened in Canton, my hometown. Down the street from my house where my girlfriend lived. So basically, I dated my girlfriend long distance for several years, but I'd go home for the holidays, and I spent it with her family, you know, on this occasion.
Well, well played, sir. Well played for story. Well
okay.
played.
Well, thank you.
Simple.
To the point.
Had shock value.
Squeaky clean. Thank you.
7 minutes.
Love
well
that.
Played. Well played.
Thank you. Just
Any
happy
other questions,
it led to that.
From the YouTubes?
Oh, no, but they are definitely interested in Leah's Goofy movie sexcapades.
They're having their own podcast over there. Great. They've left us. Thanks so much.
I mean, it's a full-blown AOL chat room right now. But can I just say
AOL? I get it.
So, yeah. Brett, Mike is a little bit low. Can you turn him up a bit to match the ladies' level because they are complaining a little bit
it
online.
It is a little low. That's what I thought too.
Or just stuff the mic down your throat.
Again?
Yeah, I don't mind talking at all. In fact, I like listening
more
to myself
possible.
Talk.
All right, so let's move on to you, young lady.
Oh, thank you. Well, Jessica mentioned that I was in a movie with Jim Carrey called Man on the Moon, and I have a bunch of stories from that I haven't really shared, and I thought because I can't pull out the getting shot story, so I thought maybe that I would pull out one of these stories because I haven't shared them on any podcast before. So So I was, so we shot this in two parts. Part of it was in California. We shot some of the interiors that were originally happened in New York, but we shot them in LA. And then we shot the interiors at Saturday Night Live, of course, and on the Saturday Night Live studios, which was epic, which was so amazing to be on that set.
Yeah.
And got to be there. And so Jim was in character the whole time. Like, we weren't allowed to call him Jim. He was
right.
Andy.
And sometimes people, like, we have like Generation Z watching us. Sometimes people don't know that Man on the Moon was based on Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, the comedian Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Some people don't know.
Yeah, no.
We've learned our lesson when someone made a reference to Cheers and everybody around the table
was like, "Who? What's that?"
He's like, "What the fuck is that?"
So
I knew
funny.
Once he said Cheers.
It's okay. We'll get you there. So I played his sister in the movie.
Okay.
I played Carol Kaufman. She's a real person. So he was, not only was he Jim Carrey, but he also played Tony Clifton.
Right.
And there was
How did he split?
Yeah. So now that there's been a documentary out and he has talked about his process with making the movie and that he felt like something kind of entered his body, right? So mm-hmm. he felt like it was the ghost of Andy or whatever. And part of Andy was to play the Tony Clifton character. And the Tony Clifton character, he was so committed to it that he wouldn't even admit that he was Tony Clifton, even though people knew he was Tony Clifton. And then also, too, other people would play Tony Clifton as well. Bob Zemuda would play Tony Clifton and things like that. So when we were on the Saturday Night Live set, he comes as Tony Clifton. And he picks me up and he's like, "Let's go for a ride," right? And he had these cars, right? So we would hopped into the car. And during the time, we had huge swag bags. The swag on this movie, I still have a lot of it. Carhartt jackets, robes. I mean, like, you can't even imagine the amount of money and star power behind this movie. It was banana town. So
I didn't know when people made movies that you got swag on movie sets as well. I mean, I know when they have the Emmys or the Oscars that people get a bag of goodies, but I didn't know on a movie.
I've never been on a movie this big. So Milos Forman directed. He's a 2-time Academy Award winning director. He directed One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest, and he directed Hair, and he directed
the Larry Flint movie,
People versus Larry Flint, which was amazing. So yeah, I don't think every movie has this. This was also during a time when budgets were
crazy,
you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, literally in every dressing room I went into, there was a huge basket filled with like coats and jackets and cups and things and commemorative things. In one of the baskets was Mary Lou Henner wrote a book, and she was one of the characters on Taxi. She was the skinny, gorgeous one on Taxi.
The redhead.
And she wrote this book, like a health book, right? And I had started reading the book, and this is totally like, this is a total actress 101 thing that you should never do, which is do something different when you're starting to shoot something. So I started to go through the process of like having a healing crisis when I was on this because I stopped drinking caffeine. I stopped smoking. I stopped eating meat. I stopped eating dairy. So if you have a healing crisis, your body freaks out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having kind of like withdrawals while I was on set. Like, so he picks me up and we're in this car and we're driving around and I've got the swag bag. So I'm in the back seat. So it's Tony Clifton in the front seat, Bob Zemuda in the front seat, and I'm in the back seat. And I'm like, I'm gonna barf. I'm going to barf, I'm going to pass out, or I'm going to shit my pants. Like, one or the other. Like, I started having, like, a physical reaction. And I was so embarrassed that I really, really quickly, like, pulled the stuff out of the swag bag and just barfed into the swag bag in the backseat.
I mean, I can believe this. I've puked on a bus and then a plane.
I've puked everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
puked all the time.
It was... She was like, oh, my God. So I barfed in the back of a car with Jim Carrey.
In New York City?
Yeah, in New York City.
And when I went like, that for a second, you said Tony Clifton and Bob Zemuda. So it was Jim Carrey as Tony Clifton and Bob Zemuda was...
Yes.
So those two guys were in the front.
Yeah, yeah. So Bob Zemuda was one of the producers on the movie.
Right.
And I imagined a golf cart, but it wasn't.
No. So they had cars. Like, so because it was, I mean, this was so lavish. I mean, they're like no expense was spared, like whatever they wanted, right? And and the Tony Clifton character was just, he would just steal shit. He would just take things. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. It was really, it was really, really nuts. And, you know, the New York City traffic was crazy stop and go. Uh-huh. And I'm in the back seat, like, I'm not fucking feeling
well. I see you throw up?
No.
One knew that you threw up?
No, I just fucking did it so quick because I was so ashamed that I was in this epic situation that should have been so exciting and wonderful, and I was feeling terrible, and I just barfed.
Wow, you hit it.
I did.
Good job.
Wow.
I left the bag in the back seat, though. I'm sure some fucking PA
found. Why would
because,
you do that?
Because it was filled with barf. Like,
I would have taken that bag and thrown it away.
I just wanted to, because I didn't know where.
They're going
to
put two and two together.
No, no.
This is in the back seat. Who was in the back seat?
But I didn't know where we were going next. I didn't want to walk it into some fucking hotel or some restaurant. Like, I didn't want to bring the barf with me. So I just left it in there.
I would have given it to a kid. So, enjoy the swag, kid.
Here you go. Big time Hollywood movies.
There's coke in that puke.
There's some speculation online about this story.
Okay, what's
that? The speculation?
Leah thinks, of course, it could be true. It sounds plausible to her.
Right.
Me too.
Simple, yeah.
But however, Kenneth Lofgren thinks that she imagined the golf cart because she saw the documentary on Netflix.
Oh, that was Jessica who thought it was the golf cart. Oh,
okay, so you know, maybe that's where Ken's. They are on a delay, so they might not have caught up yet.
Yeah, it's okay.
Brett or Mike back there asked, what about all the swag? What ended up happening to it?
So now I carried that. I just carried it. Like, because there was like a robe and a jacket, and I just carried it in my arms.
I would like to let everyone know that Brett Erickson and Michael Evans are engineering today's session, and that we all should say hello to Mike Schmidt, who is... king of the basement. what gets me, because I had an example like that happened to me. I do a lot of photography, and I was working with this a photographer named Michael Greco, and Michael Greco shot the AVN Awards, which is the Adult Video Awards. And so I was one of his assistants. We did digital capture, and then I had to work the floor and pull the porn stars to come get photographed. And it was also a lot of physical labor, and I was the only girl on set. And we were scrambling around, not eating great. Like, we ate a roast beef sandwich. I got so sick off that roast beef sandwich.
Oh, girl.
We're driving back because it was in Vegas. We were driving back from Vegas. And I'm hanging out with some of the coolest guys in the photography business, right? And I had my boss's cooler. It was like one of those little coolers, right? And we were going down the freeway, and I was just, and it just was one of those things, like what you're saying.
You can't stop it.
And I just had to open up the cooler and toss my cooks in.
Yeah.
So what gets me about your story is that you left the bag in the back seat of the car and carried all the stuff out. I might not be able to.
I'm telling you right now, I didn't know where this was going. And and here's the thing. I didn't think that they were going to return to the car anyway. I thought they had somebody else that was going to come get the car. That was what I was thinking. In my mind, was
but it was a convertible, right?
Some other assistant. No, it was a blue car. That you're thinking of the one from the documentary. Uh-huh. So that was different. That was what happened in LA. I'm talking about what happened in New York.
Didn't the vomit smell so bad that people in the car would notice?
No. I don't think I'd eaten something that, because I wasn't, what I was eating was not, I wasn't eating dairy and I wasn't eating meat. So it wasn't
bile,
like, it was just kind of watery. Like it wasn't super smelly, which is something that would be. Yeah.
For any of our super fans, this kind of resembles when the poop was left on the counter. Am I right?
Oh, when was the poop left on the counter?
Oh, yeah.
Poop, did that tell us?
Kate Quigley story.
A story about where she picked some poop up and put it into a Ziploc bag. And it was because she clogged the toilet and didn't want them to know.
Hilarious.
And she accidentally left it on the counter and locked herself out.
Of a guy that she so was into. And he was like, here, baby.
I'll see you next time. Wink, wink. Enjoy the house. And then
you're just going to have to kill yourself or move. Like, that. There is no coming back from
so
that.
Did anyone ever say, did anyone leave a weird bag of puke in the back
of
the car?
No, we just moved on.org. It was just like, we went back to set, and then it was just like a crazy wild ride. We went back to set, and then some PA, and I was like, got away with it. See you later.
Well, if you see the documentary, somebody probably might have thought that this is probably Jim Carrey's shit.
Well, Jason Marino wonders if this might have happened to like Courtney Love or something, and she heard about it on set, and now she's telling us the story.
No,
that's a good point.
Because Leah said she'd have gone out the window if in a car. You know the
yeah.
Do with me,
but it was a plastic bag.
It was kind of like a baskety thing.
Oh,
like, you know what I mean?
Now it's a basket?
No. It was kind of like, it wasn't, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like a really weird material. Like, it wasn't like, it was like a swag bag, but like, it was more kind of like a, like, you understand what a swag bag is, but it's like, it was more kind of like a baskety thing, but it had like plastic on the inside. So you could kind of like, it was sealed.
So it could hold puke.
So yeah, it's not like you could roll down the window and toss it out.
It was really one of the scariest moments, because I really didn't want them to know that I was back there puking.
When I was driving for Uber, I quickly learned that paper bags are not the way to go.
Oh, no, they'll dissolve.
Yeah, that was stupid of me. And then, so I found out that the 7-Eleven bags, the thick...
You couldn't have put that together, though, Jessica?
Wow. Yeah. Where? So you kept these for the people paper in your car, or...?
Yeah, the 7-Eleven bags, the real thick ones.
Nice.
Are the perfect ones. And you can wrap it right around their ears.
Wonderful.
I did that to a guy.
Handy dandy carrying case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I can never remember getting a 7-Eleven bag.
Really? They're super thick. Oh, hella thick.
We're all going to have to go get one for the next time we're puking in a car. Yeah.
Well, two perfectly gross ass stories to start the podcast.
Only one gross ass story.
All right, so I think we should just move on to the second story, unless you have anything you would like to add over there, Austin.
There's some little bit of debate going on about the basket. was there a lining of any kind in the
basket? Yeah, so there was like, it was a little kind of like baskety, but it had like a little bit of like plastic on the inside. So it wasn't like a strainer. No,
yeah,
it wasn't going to.
They were kind of wondering. Like,
it would go right through. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have chosen that for, as a place to put my vomit.
As if you had a choice.
You know what I mean? I didn't.
Austin, are you wearing a half gator, half
this
Garth
is my
Brooks?
Garth Brooks concert t-shirt. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was in Florida, you would see Garth Brooks.
Dude, you have great tits.
I know. It's like, you can't show me them bitch tits. And then, you know what I'm saying, Austin? Like,
can't get my eyes off.
Do it. Yeah.
No.
Free the nipple.
No.
Free it.
I could glaze those suckers.
Free the nipple.
I didn't need to see that. All right. So, second story. Let's go.
Oh, my second story? I used to work the road 30, 40 weeks a year.
Oh,
and
I thought you were going to say 30, 40 years ago.
30, 40 years ago, pretty much. I wish.
Fuck off, Justin.
And,
don't worry about your own
not
career.
That old, bitch.
I was like, you're not that old. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And, of course, you meet some interesting people. So I was working Shreveport. Have you ever worked the Funny Bone in Shreveport? No,
I've never worked in Shreveport.
Louisiana. All right, Louisiana. And
no, but who books that?
No one anymore. Yeah. Let me tell you. And so after my shows, it was a Sunday night. I was done with the week. I was heading to Dallas the next day, and I went to a local bar, which is right down the street. Sitting there having a couple drinks, and a retarded girl, if you don't mind me saying, she was. Pulled up next to me, sat down next to me, and started buying me drinks. And she was nice and sweet and had no intentions. And she was definitely flirting. But as the night went on, many drinks had come. And it came to the point where she was kind of throwing her A game at me. And
what describe her A game.
Very flirty, very complimentary, very like charming in her own way. And she had a hair lip, too. I'll throw that in there.
Hair lip,
yeah. And so I was having fun. I wasn't impartial. I was just having fun with her. And it got to the point of the night where we were both pretty loaded. And the bartender was like, okay, listen, man, I got to talk to you. And they removed her from the bar. And he said to me, he's like, I can't let you go home with her tonight. And I said, no, I'm good. Don't worry. And that wasn't my intention. He goes, okay, just let her go her own way. And, and I'll let you go in a couple of minutes. So a couple of minutes went by. I was walking back to the hotel. And there was...
Did he say why? Just because she was not mentally stable?
I think that he didn't want that to go down. I think he may have known her. And
so he was looking out for her best interest.
I think... look at me. Yeah. And... So I was on my way.
Or he was like, he was looking out for his best interest.
She took her aside and was like, look, I can't wait to do
that. Now that would have been better. So I'm on my way. You just got that now? You
might want to pass on this guy.
He just bombed.
Oh, my God. So funny. Yeah, they're outside talking to her. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I can't let you go yet. So I was walking back to my hotel.
Were you headlining or featuring at that time?
I was featuring.
Yeah, they were like, no, he's a feature. move on, bitch.
Don't fuck the, it's like fucking the drummer. And I was on my way back to the hotel, and I was pretty loaded. I heard a loud bar, so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go into this bar. And as soon as I walked in the bar, she was there. She goes, she said, can I buy you another drink? I go, I'm all right. She goes, let me buy you a drink. She bought me a drink, and she ended up coming back to my hotel with me. And I had, I would say, reluctant sex with her. And it wasn't bad. It's just I didn't want to, but she wanted to. So I threw her a bone. Come. Hey. A good bone. We had sex.
A reluctant bone.
Hey, come on.
They told you that you couldn't tell two true stories on the show, right?
they sure did. So I had sex.
This is, I might have lost my virginity in a bathroom, but this is making me uncomfortable.
Good. That's what you get for calling me 2 hours ago telling me to do your podcast. So the next morning, you know, obviously it's time to go. And I had to go. I said, listen, I got to go. I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, no problem. And she went about her way. I jumped in my car, and I was driving to jump on the freeway, which is right close to the hotel. And as I'm pulling up to the light to jump on the freeway, I see her doing the walk of shame in this clothes that she was in that night. And it was a crack of thunder, and it started pouring. And I just remember her looking up to the sky, giving one of these to the Lord above, walking on the freeway. And I jumped on the freeway and I took off and I had a good laugh about it. So that's my story.
You liar.
Any questions?
Fuck, dude.
I have some questions in here. I do, for sure.
Please. By all means.
Well, can you give me some examples of a retarded girl throwing you her A game at the bar? And was she paying cash or card? Had she had a few drinks herself already? Like, there's a lot of... What's the tolerance like for a retarded girl at the bar?
High.
High tolerance.
Yeah, she drank a lot. From what I understand, she had been there for a while before I'd come and had been drinking. And when I say A game, dude, I'm telling you, she was convincing. You know, when a girl wants to sleep with a guy... you know, they know what to do.
Throw me a line.
Oh, I don't. This is like 13 years ago. It didn't even have to be about lines. It was about charm. It was like I could tell she really wanted to, you know, get down.
That's it. This is a morality tale. This is like fucked up. This is like one of the most fucked up stories ever.
Me or her?
Like, because on one hand, you want to say... like, why not?
So you're not doubting on one it at hand. All.
Right.
You're a feature back in the day doing 30 to 35 weeks a year on the road? Yeah. No, you just, no. So on one hand, morality-wise, you just want to say, yeah, it seems all right that someone who is, you know... Mentally challenged. That they also have hormones and drives and.
She's very aware of what she wanted.
But it's fucked up that you didn't give her a ride. That's fucked up. You didn't give her a ride back to the home. That's fucked up.
To the home. Why'd you assume she's in a home? hey,
now who's fucked up? She didn't ask for one. I had to, you know, I had to go.
She just wanted to wave her fist at God and not get a ride. Like a. I think she would have been stoked for a ride.
Maybe.
Kenneth says, is this another Jake Flores story? Does that mean anything to anybody?
I don't know who Jake Flores is.
Yeah.
Probably not unless he told my story.
And Leah was waiting on Jess to kind of zone in on the sexual part of the story, as you usually do, and pick that apart. But...
no, not in this situation. I'm fine.
Yeah, Kenneth said Jess is staring him down with daggers. So maybe she was a little bit... Well,
I wouldn't say I did anything bad. I mean, no, I think I did a good deed.
Define bad.
I think having sex with her isn't bad because she was willing, and why not let...
she was aggressive.
Let someone enjoy life, but that you didn't drive her home.
That's the
womp womp.
That's the one.
That's what gets me.
Really?
In the rain.
It wasn't like she asked. And I was like, no. No, it wasn't rain. It was
in the rain.
That wet hair.
It wasn't raining.
When
she started to walk home, it wasn't raining. It started raining.
Yeah.
Like right at the
on the freeway?
Right at the freeway.
On the freeway. It's not even on the sidewalk or next to the bus stop, but on the freeway.
Yeah. I mean, the intersection to get out of the freeway.
I hope this story is a lie and that you did burn your asshole with bleach.
I wish it was. I think maybe that was my payback.
This is crazy.
For years back.
Wow. That is. Any other questions, Michael, in the booth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did the hemorrhoids flare up during that hookup? Is this all?
Not that I remember, no.
And how long does reluctant sex take?
It was quicker than normal, so I'd say about an hour.
An hour?
Sex is an hour quicker than normal?
Well, quicker, because I wanted to get a little, I mean, sometimes you're into it and you last longer, and I wasn't that into it.
Oh, so understood.
I wanted to get it done, you know?
Understood. Did you practice safe sex with her?
I hope so.
Oh, my God.
I was pretty drunk. I think I did. I usually do.
I am having a little moral conundrum with this, because I'm...
A little.
This is coming from the lady who was finger banged behind a church.
Anal in a bathroom at the mall? And you're having a...
Right.
Go ahead.
Because in one hand, in my mind, I'm thinking, if this was a woman telling this story, I probably wouldn't feel the same way.
Okay. Yeah, because a woman would give the dude the... A mentally challenged person as it was raining on the freeway.
Oh, here we go. It wasn't raining at the time.
Yeah. You're like, God, at least you give this guy a ride.
Oh, I gave her a ride. just not home. I reluctant. Well, reluctant on my part. I didn't want to. I was really drunk, and I don't drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really my thing.
Wow. You ever wonder what happened to her?
All the time. No, I mean, I don't think I did anything wrong. In fact, I felt like I was doing something good, actually.
Did she have a Cajun accent?
It was like, she talking
okay,
like
don't this. Do that. No.
I'm being honest.
Political correctness all of a sudden. Wow. What the fuck does it
fucking go? The moral code just kicks in.
Oh, I know.
To be honest, wow. I don't remember. I don't. We were both.
She told me that I can't talk about Jewish people anymore. So
I can only imagine.
She's like, we're trying
how
to work
ignorant
in this
that
house.
Is.
Okay, shut the fuck up. All right, put a sock in
and
it.
And I just have a natural curiosity.
Mm. Well, look, my brother is autistic, and he has a little girlfriend, and so I don't feel bad on that part. I don't feel bad. And she was drinking, and obviously she had people in the town that were somewhat looking after her and were trying to do right by her. And but the ride thing, that gets on me. The ride thing, it's just like...
Is it because you couldn't physically, like you would have gotten hit, or the traffic flow of traffic, you couldn't stop?
No, it was, I was at a stop, I was at the light, and I was taking a right to go on the freeway, and she walked by me this way.
Did she see you?
No, she didn't. No.
So could you have went straight and picked her up?
No.
You couldn't have?
No, I couldn't have.
So it was impossible. He couldn't make a left. He couldn't make a U-turn.
No, I couldn't have because I didn't want to.
She didn't want to. But, I mean, so it wasn't like it was physically.
The reason I didn't do it is because the moment was, first of all, so classic. Like her cursing the God because it started raining was classic. And number two is I just
she probably
had
thought she was getting punished for sleeping with you.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. And I enjoyed that moment for whatever reason.
Our listener, host Tedder, is his name on YouTube. He said to kind of lay off of Mike a little bit because she got laid in a continental breakfast, and that's a pretty good day in the deep south.
I agree. I like this guy.
You gave her breakfast?
Well,
she was at the hotel. It was on her.
It was a warm breakfast.
A thousand barfs. A thousand barfs.
Oh, in what? A fucking concierge bag?
I'm telling you, it happens. That's probably what set me off. Right. I could feel
that
it in my
story.
Bones somewhere that you were letting a mentally challenged woman walk home in the rain. And I was like,
you really think
there was a disturbance in the force.
I really think I was a bad guy, other than the ride part. I almost agree with you.
I honestly don't know. All I know that is my insides are like,
What else is new?
Dude, that never happened.
Oh my God,
happened.
That's amazing.
It's never happened.
Barometer.
Not even in the bathroom?
No, it's never happened on the podcast where she was like, I'm uncomfortable with this story.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Good. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. If it was a woman, I feel like it would. That's what I'm trying to logically think about it.
Yeah.
But I right now, I can't.
I was, listen, at no point was I disrespectful.
Did you go down on her?
No. No.
Was it Harry down there?
It was dark and I was drunk.
Does it matter? It was like 13 years ago, so probably.
I mean, let's be honest, probably. I would say, yeah.
Wow, now I'm mad at you that you didn't go down on her.
I would have been mad if I did.
Yeah, if you went down on her, she wouldn't have raised her fist. She'd be like, at least like, it ain't on.
Jessica, don't feel bad. She was the one throwing her A-game.
Oh, you're mad about that, aren't you?
No, I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying that's why he didn't pick her up. You think he's got time for that? This girl is one for one getting him in the sack. He'd have gone right back. He doesn't have all day.
I'm not mad. I'm not upset or feel weird that you had sex with her. But I if the story is true, it's the ending is a little unkind. But, you know, what can I tell you? Comedians.
Aww.
It's true.
Soulless.
What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean? I got no soul?
I know. Like, we all don't. All right. So, go ahead with your second story.
Okay. So, I'll tell about I had a very interesting transaction when I met Jim Carrey for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Because, I was on set. And I hadn't met Jim, and I didn't understand like what was happening in the movie. Like I didn't understand that he was in character the whole time. And so I had a very small tattoo then at the time. I have much more tattoos now, but I only had one tattoo at the time, and it says Angel period on it because it was what everybody was doing back then. Just so everybody knows that I was doing it before it was cool. Thank you very much.
Right. There was a really famous show. What was it? Touched by an Angel.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with that. but there was a time when everyone had like the word angel, like across their butt. You know what I mean? Like on sweatpants and you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
Do you remember
like
that?
Like a tramp stamp.
Yeah. And it's not that. So I have it on my shoulder. And at the time, so there was our makeup artist, her name was V, and she was an Academy Award winning makeup artist. She did all the makeup for Beetlejuice, which she did by hand.
Ooh.
This was before they had airbrush guns. So she did all of the makeup for Beetlejuice by hand, if you can fucking believe
that's cool.
So on Man on the Moon, she did have a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like airbrush, you know what I mean? So she was able to cover up my tattoo pretty easily. And they also have to cover up Courtney Love's tattoos. And it was just like, shh, 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 you know, they could cover it up. So I was in there, I was getting my tattoo covered up. And then when I was like walking into the makeup trailer.
Every time that I've had my tattoos covered up though, they use a cream.
Yeah, she had this airbrush.
This was 2001 or something, right?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. So it was airbrush.
They didn't have creams back then?
I don't know. I was a kid.
It was kind of amazing. They poured it in there and it worked incredible because it was so fine. It would get into your skin. It was pretty amazing. And so walking into the trailer, I noticed that, Jim was sitting outside. So he had his own Airstream. He had his own little kind of like movable city. And we were in a parking lot downtown. We were shooting the interiors for the hospital because he was dying. And so he was bald at the time. And because he was dying and he was doing this whole kind of like method acting thing. Mm-hmm. So he had his little Airstream and he had this little area that had like AstroTurf, like, and then there was this like cool like umbrella that was over it, you know, and he was sitting there and he was smoking a cigarette and really, really loud out of the trailer was the Doors. This is the end. Boom, boom, boom. My only friend. The end. I was walking by this and I was like, oh my God, this is so fucking surreal. So I went into the trailer and she got rid of my tattoo and I was coming out and I was like, I really should just introduce myself to him, even though no one had officially done it. So I walked up to him and the music was super, super loud. And I go, hi, I'm Melanie and I'm playing your sister. But he wasn't really looking at me. So he looks at me finally with a cigarette and he goes, oh, you're playing a nurse? And I go, no, I'm playing your sister. And he stands up and he hugs me and he's like holding me, right? And he goes, Mom and Dad are really upset, aren't they? And I was like, oh shit, we're in the movie. Like, I was like, fuck, I had no idea what to do. And then he was like talking to me like I was his sister, like for the rest of the movie. And it was really weird. And I felt very uncomfortable. And I didn't, like the whole movie experience was like so out of my understanding that I didn't really quite like understand what was happening.
Well, we know that you were in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not in question. How many times did you have to audition to get into that movie?
It was an interesting audition process. So first I auditioned, and I got passed through to the first like level. I just met with like a general audition. Yeah. Like just like a casting person. Mm-hmm. Then the next time was, I had to meet Milos Forman at his home, and it was weird. Like, so in the building where he lived, it was like Central Park South. So you would take an elevator to like the 33rd floor, and the elevator just opened into his home. And I thought that there was somebody else going to be there with us, but there wasn't. It was just Milos Forman. And he sat there, and we read the parts, and he played all the characters that I would have to interact with. And then, so that was that. And then I had to come back another time to audition with all of the people in my family. So I stayed the same the entire time, but the brother would switch out, the dad would switch out, and the mother would switch out. So it happened about like 4 or 5 times.
And you never met Jim Carrey before that?
No.
Wow. Wow. How old were you when this was going on?
20s. Mid-20s.
Late 20s?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s.
Before, after your son?
Way before. I had my son 14 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, well, I mean, it sounds like Jim Carrey. We saw the documentary. He definitely gets into character.
Right.
You know, so that's...
Jason Marino said, damn you, he believes both of your stories. Yeah.
I know, right? Because when you think about it, wow. Wow.
Well, that seemed very plausible.
Do you have any questions, Mike?
Do you like my stories?
I love the Clorox story. Yeah.
Kenneth is curious about, he said, at what point was this part filmed? So I think he means like what it chronologically in the film, was this like during his cancer time or?
Yeah. So that was really, and that's a good question. So they actually shot his death first. And that was,
how does that work with him being meta?
Well, movies are shot out of order for a myriad of reasons. You know what I mean? It's like budget, people's availability. You know, we had so many stars on that movie, you know, Courtney Love, the entire cast of Taxi. Who knows why?
To organize everybody's schedule.
Yeah, so literally the first time I met even Courtney Love, we shot the funeral scene first. That was the first thing I ever shot. So it was so out of order. And then we did Carnegie Hall stuff. Then we did Saturday Night Live stuff back in New York City. We did the exteriors. So we did the interior of Carnegie Hall in LA, and we did the exterior of Carnegie Hall in New York City.
What was Courtney Love like? Was she a little out of control during that period of
very
time?
Very challenging.
Because that was like during the heyday of
Whole. No, believe me, yeah. I was madly in love. I thought that we were going to be best friends, and it was, she was this is my opinion. She was particularly difficult with me. She would not speak to me. She would not look at me. She would not connect with me. Even when we were introduced to each other, she wouldn't even like look at me.
Sounds like the first time me and Felicia met.
Yes. And it's been true like love twins. Ever since.
Because you're like twins.
How many days were you on the film?
I'd have to say altogether, it was probably over like maybe like 3 weeks. But like super peppered around. So I flew out to LA a couple times. I was in New York a couple times.
Did you just make scale like every, you know?
No.
You made some.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Back then you made money.
Yeah. What a wonderful experience to have.
It was incredible. It was incredible story.
Yeah.
An incredible experience.
All right. So we're going to have Austin quickly recap. Let's start with Mike's stories. And let's see what Austin comes up with.
If you guys have get worse. I
know. That was very toned down with Mike's stories, just to make sure I didn't go overboard.
Okay, good.
And I do want to point out, I did notice that I'm sure you did too, the first story was significantly shorter than the second story. The second loaded with details. First one, I got one sentence for the whole thing. He was visiting family with hemorrhoids, and when his hemorrhoids inflamed immediately at the dinner table, he went to the bathroom to try and wipe the pain away, but instead of baby wipes, he accidentally used bleach wipes, and it was bad.
And I'm almost positive he has a joke.
Like that?
Yep. I think I heard it when we were with Russell Peters.
Mm-hmm.
Is my mic on?
Well, here's my question. When you went to go get the wipes, where were the wipes in the bathroom?
On top of the toilet, the back thing. And what do you call that part of the toilet?
The tank?
Yeah, the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't have a label on it.
It didn't?
No, ooh, someone sabotaged you.
Someone had pulled it off.
Fun fact, if you ever need to change the oil in your scooter and you don't have an oil pan that'll fit underneath, you can use the top of a toilet lid.
I'm sorry, Michael. I just wanted to tell you that we can hear people talking on your mic, I think. Anyway, that is and the second story.
Let's see how you handle that second
how
story.
How can we forget?
I'll recap that. No ride home.
Yeah, so he used to be a road comic and was in Shreveport, Louisiana bar when a hair-lip mentally challenged young lady sat next to him.
Hair-lip, it's adorable.
Yeah. After several drinks, she began to come on to him, and the bartender tried to dissuade him from going home with her. But later on, they met at the hotel and had reluctant sex. When he leaves the next morning, he's getting on the freeway and sees her doing the walk of shame in the rain and didn't even offer her a ride.
Okay.
That's exactly the story, Mike.
First of all, there's a couple things we need to... Reluctant sex has to be from my point of
well,
view.
Well, how do you know, though?
Well, because she's the one who came on to me. Reluctant sex means like I raped her or something.
No,
like that. Okay,
that's like she didn't want to do it.
No.
No, she did. She.
I didn't want to do
hilarious.
It.
Hilarious. We don't have any problems with that.
Well, sometimes when you're with a guy, it's just quicker to have sex with a guy than to explain why you can't.
Oh, the tribes and tribulations.
You have a story that goes along with this?
She's probably got 100.
We all do.
Wow. And did she have a good time when you guys were having sex? Could you tell if
who
she
cares?
Was...
Have- no.
No, oh, my God!
Girl. You were saying you were doing a nice thing for her.
I know. That it was girl. A joke what I just said. I'm hoping she had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't bad.
And a long walk home.
Oh, a limping walk home.
did you at least snuggle after?
Oh, cut
was
the
there
shit.
Spooning?
I was drunk. I mean, I laid next to her. It's not like I ran out the building. Mm. Yeah, I laid down. I fell asleep afterwards.
What were the words exchanged the next morning?
Actually,
don't
no.
do that,
it was
Mike
a funny
Saberman.
Line. Hold on.
Don't
that's
do
what she sounded like.
No, don't do that.
This is what she said
that's
to
not
me.
Okay. Hey, the stories told here should not be held against the comedy story.
Yes, it should be. This is exactly what she said when I woke up.
Just
in the morning,
say the words. Don't act it out.
When our eyes met, she goes, at least she didn't wake up next to a fat chick, is what she said.
Oh, so she was funnier than you.
Because I put a little funny in her.
Zing. That's why you left her on the freeway when it was raining, because you're like, oh, and she's fucking funny. That was hilarious.
No, my
that was
hilarious.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a vote on this
what,
piece of shit.
I think he's funnier than her.
How do you know?
If he made up this story, that's almost worse.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm not giving anything away.
I hope she's touring right now, featuring all over the Funny Bones.
Yeah, her name is Josh Blue.
Once again, the stories told here should not be your reflection of the comedy show.
Michael Evans, which one do you think is the lie, Michael Evans?
I mean, obviously, I want to, you know, this all seems safe for him to joke about because it's like, that second story is not true. But do hemorrhoids just flare up? Like now, he was just sitting at dinner and just, yeah.
That
just
was that
ouch.
Was that was my question too, because in the hemorrhoid experience that I've had, it's pretty much like you wake up and you're like, oh man, they're there, and then
it's a slow
one
burn.
Morning you wake up a week later and then they're not there.
Yeah. Slow burn.
So I haven't had the same kind of hemorrhoids. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Weird things can happen on the road. Yeah. Maybe there's a lady out there who thinks she did some poor developmentally disabled man a favor at a bar one night.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
On a podcast right now talking about it.
That's where I was getting at with the reluctant thing, that maybe she thought she was doing you a favor.
Yeah. You know, you never know.
I'm a mentally challenged person, but I was so drunk I didn't realize until the next day when somebody told me.
Wait. Whoa.
Wait, we can't. That's so funny.
Do you guys hang out in the bathroom?
Oh my God.
Do we have time for this?
There's always time for this.
The secrets always come out from Jessica.
They just spill out.
Hilarious.
Well, I had this friend once. She told me this story about we like this fish market in Glendale. I swear to God, it's called the Fish King. And we were living in Valley Village, and she used to buy, she went through this phase where she would bicycle out to everywhere crazy. She'd bicycle out in the middle of summer. She was bicycling out, and she had a helmet on, and she finally made it to the Fish King, right? From Valley Village. That's like a, that's like
long.
That's a long bike ride, right? And that when she got into the Fish King, you know, her helmet was askew because it was pretty hot. Yeah. She was all sweaty, and she was so happy she made it. And then everybody suddenly let her go first in line. So they thought that she was retarded because she's like, I'm
right. Hey, don't do the voice. That. Hey.
That's a challenge person.
Comes right back for you.
Your next special has to be named Slow Burn, a hemorrhoid experience.
Oh, that'd been slow burner. Her.
So it could be a big possibility if it's true that she thought you were, that you guys were of the, you know,
the same.
The same. Yeah, it could be. Could
tribal be. Recognition.
That makes you feel better, ladies.
No. Yeah. So what were you drinking, though? Like, how drunk were you?
It was Jack and Cokes all night and very drunk.
Oh, yummy. So maybe it did come off like you guys were, you know, you
hot
never
couple.
Know.
Yeah. Hot couple.
A perfect match. What does anybody else want to take a vote online?
Listeners have voted.
Okay.
And our apologies.
You're welcome, America.
Jesus.
Leah and Jason both agree with each other that the first story is a lie about the hemorrhoid thing, and they think that the second deviant story is true. And then Hot Setter says that the sex story is a lie, and Kenneth also thinks that the second story is a lie.
Hot Setter is one of our new subscribers on YouTube. Thank you.
He's the man.
Thank you. And what did Michael say? What did you say, Michael?
I guess that my official verdict, I mean, it's too believable. I believe that he wiped his ass with Clorox wipes. Okay. You know, that's a move you could make. Yeah. I guess.
Could
so I guess I got to go with second one is not true.
I'm going to go with the second one is true because I see it. I just see it.
What do you mean?
We can't unsee it.
We can't unhear that story.
Are you visualizing it? Is that the same? No, but
well, yeah, to a degree.
I got pictures.
But that is weird that someone would put Clorox bleach wipes on the tank of the toilet, though. That kind of gets at me,
too. Use it there so you can clean the toilet seat?
Well, I think that happened to maybe his dad or something like that, because he mentioned that it was a family gathering.
He definitely has a joke. So I'm like 99% sure that that's one of his jokes.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, true or false?
That's one of those things that could be rooted in truth.
Uh-huh.
Or...
So
he just saw some Clorox wipes on the back of a toilet seat and thought, ooh.
Yeah. So what do you think is, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it almost makes it worse if the second story is not true.
You're like, please let the second story be true.
But then I don't want it to be true either.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you prepared? Are you prepared for if it is true?
So I'm really caught here. Can everybody else go first?
I think that the first story for Mike is a lie because the hemorrhoid flare-up thing. Because like I don't, they just all of a sudden started hurting so bad that he had to.
Well, you said it started. Yours started pretty fast.
No. Like you wake up and then you realize, oh man, I got hemorrhoid right now, and then they hurt all day. It's not like they just start hurting out of nowhere. You know, it's always a pain in the butt, if you will.
You didn't even realize you had them until you went to the bathroom.
That's my experience with them, if I'm being completely honest.
You had hemorrhoids too?
Hey, this isn't about me, but I'm
making it about you, Mike.
I'm still going story number one is true. That just seems realistic to me. I want the second one to be true. God, is that fucking
I think
funny,
the second one is true.
And so Jessica, what do you think? First story is
I guess.
I've never seen her this sad during a podcast.
She knows.
Last week she was sad because a line was shot.
I'm going to say that the second story is a lie.
You think first story is true? The hemorrhoid story is true.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you?
I think first story is true. Second story is a lie.
You think first story is true?
First story is true.
So when do we do a vote?
Okay, which one is the lie?
Now. Do I tell it now?
Yes.
The second story is true.
I knew it!
No way!
I knew it! Even with the crack of thunder?
Even,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't make up any part of that.
Hey, so wow, he wasn't wow. being offensive with the voice. He was just movie. Really saying what he I recalled. Really
so wait, so right. for clarity, you've never wiped your ass with a Clorox?
No, that happened to my girlfriend's cousin.
Okay. That I really felt the pain of that one. That yeah. was a good sell with that wow. one. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. you fucked up the whole comment section, I think, was it spun out probably.
I'm waiting for it to just go.
Wow. That was a good point that you made, though, about the stories about the wipes are pretty simple.
Are you feeling better, Jessica, that it's true? Or
even a tailspin of it.
She's like, both. Yeah. It's a lose-lose. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
Everyone loses. Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to her two stories, the recap.
Sorry, Leah's celebrating her second victory. Ever. Okay.
Aww. Oh, yay.
Party on, Leah.
So for Melanie, story one, she was in Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey, who was in full-blown Andy Kaufman character the whole time. In character as Tony Clifton, he picks up Melanie and goes for a ride with Bob Smuda driving. She had a swag bag with her and then... What?
Oh, well, who's driving?
Bob
was
Smuda,
it
right?
Bob Smuda?
No,
was
no,
driving?
Tony Clifton was driving.
Okay, sorry, switch them up. Well, okay. Really, aren't they one and the same?
Yeah. They can be.
So he picks them up, they were driving. She had a swag bag with her because they gave out all kinds of swag on the set. And then
it was more like a swag basket.
Yeah, swag yeah. basket, we found out. Mm-hmm. But it had some plastic wrap.
Whatever.
And immediately she felt like she was going to either barf or poop. So she... pulled the swag bag up, puked in it, and the two, Bob Smuda and Tony Clifton, kept trucking without even mentioning it. So, story two, she meets Jim Carrey for the first time on set without the understanding that he would be in character as Andy Kaufman. And their makeup artist, V, had an airbrush, so they covered up Melanie's tats doing that. And when she walked back from the tat cover-up, she hears Jim Carrey singing over there as Andy Kaufman and says, you know what, I should go introduce myself. They get acquainted, and he embraces her as her sister because that was the role that she played in the film. And that's definitely the true story because, you know, you'd want, you know, that's just heartwarming.
Were the windows down in the car or were they up?
Up.
And it was in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
What time of year was it?
I think it was spring.
Did you puke silently?
It was like they were, the music was loud. They were talking so much. Like there was so much going on. And I just was like, I'm just going to just quietly do this back here.
I'm going to say the first one is a lie because I think if it was me and I was in that circumstance with those guys, I would have probably left the swag and taken the basket to throw away. If I was that embarrassed and that quiet about throwing up.
Got it.
What do you think, Mike Faberman?
I thought I was in a safe space.
Safe for some.
I think the first story is a lie because the amount of time it took you to take out the swag to puke in the bag seems like there wasn't... you know, if someone has to puke, there's no time to like take out swag to puke in a bag. Mm. And I think you're a classy lady. You take the bag with you.
No, but fight or think about like fight or flight, heat of the moment. You're with some really important people, and you just like. Let's just get the fuck away from this puke.
Yeah.
First chance I get. And like, I'm not going to bring it with me with these people that matter.
Seriously. Right?
How about the non-smell of the puke? I've never been experienced to puke that didn't smell.
Yeah, and it never happens in one clean blah. Like, every time if I'm going to puke for real, you know, you have to, like, full-on cry for some reason.
Aww.
You have to, like, cough a few things. There's no way you just had one blah that no one noticed, right?
That part I could buy, though. Honestly, that part I could buy. But then if you're going to be that quiet about throwing up, you would take the bag. With you, and you said bag before you said basket.
And also, I don't know about you, I'm a violent vomiter. And I don't know, I've seen people quietly puke before, but not very often.
Yeah.
It's a
thing. It's a full body sitch.
Body is saying, you know,
yeah.
And that's not quiet. And I think someone would hear that.
Yeah.
I've quietly puked, believe it or not.
During my story.
Yeah.
She did. I held it over here for a long time.
They've got a 7-Eleven bag over there. As you know, that the things can go over your ears. Did you know that?
It all comes back, all of it.
All right. So what are our people voting here for?
Well, I do have a question.
Yeah.
So were you just expected, as playing Carol Kaufman, Andy Kaufman's sister, to just go into your first day of shooting without having met Jim Carrey, or were they planning to introduce you at some point?
The God's honest truth, no one introduced us. Mm-hmm. No one. They were.
They don't do a table read for a picture that big.
No. It was literally like I hadn't met him, and I took it upon myself to introduce myself to him.
Wow.
And what day on set was that for you?
What day?
Yeah, like,
didn't you say it was the first day?
First day, or
the second story was the first day. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And what about the first story? How long were you on set when that happened?
It was after. So I think it was probably like I'm really thinking it's a long time ago. Like 3 or 4 weeks probably in between the two. Because it was shooting over a 3 month period, uh-huh. You know, back and forth between New York and LA.
First one's a lie.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much in agreement online between Leah, Jason, and Hot Sitter. They all think the puke is the lie.
Yeah.
Kenneth thinks the second one is the lie, but everybody else is pretty much on the same page.
Though. Do I come clean?
Go with Kenneth?
And say that the...
Because the only thing that stuck out in my mind was the tattoo removal with the airbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think that would be enough. It would take a lot of layers for your skin tone to do that.
Mm.
No, it's true.
Yeah, you think
people get spray tans. Yes. This is how I do it.
She's like, this is what sticks out for me.
And I've even watched that show like where they do body art.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they do use airbrush, but they have to put like a base on there and all that before they can really get the airbrush to come through. So that's why I'm going to say that that's the lie.
Got it.
So you did puke in my mind.
Yes, Michael. Any questions over there? All right. Everyone voted?
I think everyone has voted, yes.
And I said the first one was a lie. It's interesting. That's weird that you would pick up on the body painting thing, because it was an award-winning makeup artist.
Mm.
So she knew what she was doing. But what does that have to do with the story of making that story true or false?
Because
you think the puke part was just true? She just lied about that part?
Maybe she was just guessing or trying to add details that didn't need to be there, but just so it looked seem true.
So you think the second story is false? Is that what you're saying?
I think the second story is a lie.
All right. So, and how many people think the first story is a lie?
Pretty much everybody.
First story is a lie.
Yeah. All right. Which one is the lie?
First one's a lie.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and the only reason why I went with that is because I actually did puke in my car this weekend. I was at a pitch meeting on Saturday, like an all day pitch meeting situation, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking puke or I'm gonna shit my pants while I'm here. And I finally got in the car, and
as
I was
one feels in most
you
pitch
know
meetings.
What I mean. I was like, body, how dare you betray me today? And then I was driving home, literally with my hands like tingling, like you were talking about in the back of the car. And I had a Starbucks breakfast sandwich bag, and I was like, perfect, this is can hold. And I puked, and it just disappeared, like as it was biodegradable.
Oh, no.
So I just thought maybe if I had something that was kind of close enough. And when I was a kid, I went to camp, and I barfed into a bag. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll just kind of marry some of these two together.
Okay.
I did have that experience at Saturday Night Live with Andy Kaufman and all of that, and Jim Carrey and all that stuff. But we didn't get into a car, and I didn't puke in the car.
Yeah, because that didn't make any sense. That if you were that petrified about puking, especially after being on a set with people for 3 or 4 weeks, after 3 or 4 weeks, you guys are buddies.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that you'd be like, look, I just threw up.
But it was true that I did have a healing crisis while I was on by doing the Mary Lou Henner thing, because I was eating super healthy. My forehead broke out like crazy, and all the stuff. So the first story is absolutely.
I usually at least get one right. Most of the time, I get them both right. And for this, I would like to blame Mike.
Yeah. You broke Jessica, Mike. Your story broke Jessica.
She's never going to be the same.
Real quick before we move
Thank
on to my
God.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Jim Carrey after rap? I mean, because you kind of only met Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton.
Yes, I did. So I have a really amazing picture of us together hugging each other after the movie had wrapped. And also I was with him at the rap parties and stuff like that. It was really awesome.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you had that experience.
Yeah.
What a wonderful experience to have in your 20s.
Yeah,
it's really, really cool.
It was really great.
Thank you guys so much for coming and sharing your terrible
this was so
fun. This was really so fun and hard to do. You know what I mean? Like,
Mike's like running off. He's like, fuck these bitches.
I gotta go. I gotta go chase a yellow bus.
Hey, I think it's the short bus.
That's what you want.
You a ride.
Wow. Where can people find you?
I'm at melanievesey.com. You can watch my comedy special there. You can listen to everything. You can hop on my newsletter. You can get all my social media at melanievesey.com.
And what about you, Mike?
I prefer not to be funny.
Actually, not after this story.
He came clean and said he's in Twitter jail.
Right? You are in Twitter jail.
Say no more.
Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah,
you can find him. Can find
that. Why are you in Twitter jail?
It's a lot.
Because of these stories.
It's a whole nother story.
Wow. Wow. You know how hard it is to get into Twitter jail?
I got suspended for life. They just refused to bring me back.
What?
Better off. It's fine.
Okay.
I think Twitter is a place where people get in a lot of trouble for saying stupid shit.
Yeah.
Lose jobs and
and
get themselves attacked. So it's better just shut your mouth, in my opinion. Except on this podcast. Really let go on.
Well, thank
he's
you
gonna
guys.
Be, he's going to be in Liar's Club jail.
Thank you guys for coming on and telling such a great, wonderful, and colorful stories. And I'd like to thank the audience who plays along and everybody who's been listening on our podcast. You can find it on iTunes and Podbean. We just really want to say thank you so much. We are coming up on our year since we've been doing this, and it's been a wonderful experience, and we love having Austin here.
Liz 2-0 on this episode. Now she's giving Kenneth Lofgren, who's like 0-4, giving him pointers on. Come on, Leah, you were in that check last week.
But we appreciate that you guys have been listening, and we love that you guys come and listen to us live here at the YouTube at the Comedy Store. And thank you very much to the Comedy Store, Mike Schmidt, for helping us shepherd this along, and for Brett Erickson. You can follow Brett at IBrettMyPants, and Michael Evans, the other engineer. Michael, what is your fucked up Twitter feed?
No, go to follow my Instagram. It's High Five Michael, HIGHFIVE Michael.
Okay.
And check out Jessica and I in the Northwest doing a bunch of road dates.
Kenneth said he can't wait to see y'all in Tacoma.
Oh, nice. Wonderful. And my name has been Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the
But board. What's it going to be?
It's going to be.
It's been that till today.
Pasty Face McNichols.
We had a long discussion about your name while you weren't in the room, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about how it's pronounced and maybe not pronounced and stuff.
What do you mean?
Your real name.
My real name, Felicitas?
There it is. See, you got to say it with the Felicitas. Yeah. You got to say it with a little accent or else it doesn't come out right.
Adorable.
Anyway,
you're Mexican?
No, my grandfather was a Latin teacher. My grandfather was 80 when my mother was born. He's a very old man. He was like on his third wife. So they had old school names. And so I was named actually after my aunt. I'm the third Felicitas in my family.
Felicitas.
Yeah. Who would have thought when I was 18 years old and chose to be a stripper, when I chose Felicia, that a cultural phenomenon 20 years later would be by Felicia. Anyway, but thanks you guys for playing along. Felicia Michaels.
Follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything, and you have been lied to.
I'm so sorry. I wanted to say, you guys, I just want to give a shout out to my podcast partner here, Jessica Wellington, because she got on a Netflix show.
We're not supposed
to talk about it, but it's with two legends. And I'm just so excited because the night before she went to go audition for this part, she thought she broke her foot. And at 1:30 in the morning, I took her down to the VA and we didn't get home till 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And then she got up the next day. No, you were the trooper because you got up a few hours later and went to the callback on crutches and you got that part.
Amazing.
And I just want to say I'm very excited for my podcast partner and congratulations on that.
Big deal.
It's really kick ass.
The beginning of a very, very short future. Say your line again.
Say your line.
You've been lied to!